to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, my Redeemer. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, my Redeemer. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, my Redeemer. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, my Redeemer. You are worthy to be praised. Father Almighty, you are worthy to be praised. King of kings, Lord of lords, the Ancient of Days, the unchangeable changer, you are worthy to be praised. We are very grateful to you, for thus far you have helped us in this special convention. We thank you for souls that have been saved. We thank you for the people you have already healed. We thank you for those who will receive their own healings tonight. And we thank you for all the captives that you also set free. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord God Almighty, as we continue with this, your wonderful convention, let there be more wonders.
Amen.
Let there be more miracles.
Amen.
Let there be more signs.
Amen.
Let there be more testimonies.
Amen.
And we pray, Lord God Almighty, that the joy of every one of your children will become full.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let someone shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. You may please be seated. We thank God for all he had already done for us during this convention. And we will continue to thank him for what he will yet do. Tonight we want to discuss something very, very important. Something very, very crucial to our journey to heaven. And we want to look at what we call the wonders of commitment. The wonders of commitment. Our text is taken from Matthew chapter 22, reading from verse 35 to 40. Matthew 22, from verse 35 to 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I want to read verse 37 again. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What do we mean by commitment? Commitment actually means total and absolute surrender, once and for all time. A very good illustration will be the vow that you make at a wedding. When you say to your spouse, I'm taking this man or this woman, and this man or this woman alone for the rest of my life, in sickness or in health, in wealth or in poverty, everything I have from now on is available to her or to him until death do us part. That is the simplest way we can explain commitment. And you've never heard anyone say, I was halfly married to that woman. You are not married. It's either you are married or you are not. Now, the God we serve never do things in half measures. Never. No half measures with God. No half blessings with God. Psalm 23, verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It doesn't even stop when the cup is full. Luke chapter 5, from verse 1 to 7. Luke 5, verse 1 to 7. No half breakthrough with God. If he gives you a breakthrough, it will frighten you. Peter fished all night, caught nothing. The Lord entered into his boat, told him what to do. He caught so much fish. His boat was full, and he needed a second boat to help him. Peter would have been happy if only his own boat alone was half full. But that's not the way of God. He doesn't do things in half measures. There is no half measure kind of healing with God. In 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 1 to 14, 2 Kings 5 from verse 1 to 14, when he decided to cleanse the leprosy of Naaman, the Bible says, when Naaman came out of the river the seventh time, his skin was restored to him like that of a brand new baby, a newborn baby. When God heals you, he doesn't leave behind anything at all. The doctors will tell you, if they are going to be honest with you, that the best of medicines have what they call an after effect, something, a little bit of thing left over. I had an uncle who used to be an extremely successful medical doctor. He told me, even doctors don't like to take medicine because everyone you take will leave behind something. It will take care of the problem, but there'll be a little thing left over. There's no half-measure promotion with God. When he promotes generously. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 8 tells us when he picks up a beggar from the dunghill, he does not stop halfway until that beggar begins to sit with kings. He promised you in Deuteronomy 28 verse 13. Deuteronomy 28 verse 13 said you shall be head, not the tail. He didn't say halfway. And he says you'll be above only if he promotes you. He does a permanent job. There's no halfway deliverance with God. Mark chapter 5 from verse 2 to 20. Mark 5, 2 to 20. When he healed that madman, he did such a nice job that that fellow became an evangelist. That fellow never again returned to the tomb to live. What am I saying? I'm saying that the blessing that God will give you during this convention will be absolute and complete.
Amen.
Your breakthrough will be total.
Amen.
Your healings will be 100% complete.
Amen.
Your promotion? Very soon your colleagues will look at you at the top and they will know it is only God who could have taken you thus far.
Amen.
Deliverance, when he takes care of all those demons bothering you, you will never hear of them again.
Amen.
When he delivered the children of Israel by the Red Sea, he said to them, all the enemies you have seen tonight, you will never see them again forever. And they never did. Because every one of the enemies became food for fish. When God gives victory, it is absolute. You know, if you sit down and study 1 Samuel chapter 17, you can just pick it from verse 34 to 51. 1 Samuel 17 from verse 34 to 51. You will notice some very interesting things. David versus Goliath. Not only had God provided the stone that will knock the giant down, he had prepared the sword that is big enough to cut off the extra big neck of Goliath, Goliath's own sword. The elders have a saying, don't play with a snake that has his head on. So when God decides to take care of your enemy, he will do a thorough job. There is no halfway support from God. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, the one who had begun a good work in you will complete it. God does not take you halfway through and then withdraw. No, no, no. He will complete what he has started.
Yeah.
And you know what? There is no halfway salvation with God. It's either you are saved or you are not. And Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 24 to 25, Hebrews 7, 24 to 25 tells us clearly God is able to save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. I mean, he saved the soul of a chief herbalist and turned him to a pastor. It goes all the way. No half measures with God. And because there's no half measures with him, that is why he, in return, demands commitment. Matthew chapter 12, from verse 25 to 30. Matthew 12, from verse 25 to 30. He says, it's either you are for me or you're against me. He said, because a kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. He said, be committed to me. It's either you are for me or you are not for me. There's no middle way. So when you hear some people say, well, I love Jesus too. It's just that my own Christianity is not like your own. The fellow is simply saying, I don't belong to Christ. There's no other way. But he won't force you to be committed to him. As a matter of fact, he says clearly, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, Revelation 3, 15 to 16, he said, I want you to make up your mind. Do you want to be hot? Or do you want to be cold? Just choose one. If you are hot, be hot. If you are cold, be cold. He said, what I don't want is lukewarmness. You are lukewarm? He said, I get rid of you. Like I used to tell those of you that God had given me the opportunity to visit, and I pray I will be able to visit many of you more before the Lord returns. I always say, don't give me a warm welcome. Either make the welcome cold, or so that I will know I am not wanted here. Or make it hot. Because my God does not like anything warm. It's either cold or hot. So when you want to praise him, when I ask you to shout hallelujah and you say hallelujah, he is upset. If you don't want to praise him, keep your mouth shut. He doesn't mind. If you want to praise him in such a manner, he himself will say, all right, that's good. Do I hear somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
In Deuteronomy chapter 30, from verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, 19 to 20, he gives you an advice. He said, I'm setting before you life or death, blessing or curses. Because you have to choose out of the two. He said, but I advise you, choose life, that you and your seed may live. Choose. He won't force you. But once you decide to choose, then let what you have chosen be clear. Be committed. Now, let's now look at the wonders of commitment. If you commit your body to him, what's likely to happen? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1, he said, beloved, present your body a living sacrifice. In other words, you say to God, this body, my body, I commit it to you. It's yours from now on. Nothing will be allowed in this body of mine that is going to bring you displeasure. Daniel chapter 1. You can read it from verse 1 to 20. Daniel 1 from verse 1 to 20. Daniel and some of his friends were taken as slaves to a foreign land. When they got there, the king said to the one in charge, I want to get some of these boys trained. Go through them, find those who are good looking, and give them my food. Let them drink my wine. Treat them very well. And then teach them. They came to Daniel. Daniel said, thank you. I know I'm in a strange land, but my body is committed to Jehovah. I can't eat anything offered to idols. I'm sorry, sir. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, where are we to, sir? The Bible says, they refuse to defile their bodies with the king's meat and the king's wine. Don't listen to those who tell you that God is only interested in your spirit. You can do what you like with your body. That is not my God. When he owns you, he wants to own you 100%. How many husband is going to shout for joy when he discovers that his wife has been messing around? How many wife will jump for joy when he hears that the husband has been unfaithful? My body belongs to my wife. Her body belongs to me. I won't defile that body. God wants you to present your body a living sacrifice. There are food you will not eat because you know this food has been offered to idols. And what happened? At the end of the day, Daniel and his friends were looking far, far better than those who were eating the king's meat, drinking the king's wine, and they were wiser than they all. But it doesn't end there. By the time you now get to Daniel chapter 6, and you can read the whole chapter, Daniel chapter 6 from verse 1 to the end, when the lion saw Daniel coming, something told them, this body is not your food. This body had been committed to the Almighty God. Don't touch him, or else the one who made him will kill you. So he spent a whole night playing with lions as if they were puppy dogs. In Daniel chapter 3, from verse 1 to the end, Daniel chapter 3 from verse 1 to the end, do you know why they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire and the fire didn't burn them? Because the color of the fiery furnace is the same as the color of the wine. This body had not been defiled by the wine of the king, and the fire said, we can't burn these bodies. What about your soul? When you love him with all your soul, when you commit your soul to him, because that passage said you have to love the Lord with all your soul. The soul is talking about that part of you where you have wisdom, understanding, etc., etc. you will discover that your wisdom will become difficult to explain. You know, Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2, from verse 20 to 22, take time to read the whole of Daniel. A king had a dream. Read the whole of Daniel chapter 2. A king had a dream, and he forgot the dream. And then he called his interpreters, his wise men, come and tell me my dream and the interpretation. I said, they said, hey, nobody ever asked this of any wise man. Tell us the dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. And the king said, no. If I tell you the dream, you can tell me whatever you want and call it the interpretation. God has caught you now. Tell me the dream first. When Daniel heard, he said, give us time. There's a God in heaven who knows all things. Our souls are committed to him, and he will be committed to our soul. That night, the whole show was revealed to Daniel. And Daniel wrote in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 to 22, he said, it is God who gives wisdom to the wise. And James chapter 1, verse 5, James 1, verse 5 says, when he's giving you wisdom, he gives you liberally. God is not stingy. When another situation arose in Daniel chapter 5, if you read it, read the old chapter 2, Daniel chapter 5. And there was an unseen, they saw the hand of a man, but they could not see the man, who wrote something on the wall for a king, and nobody could even read it, talk less of interpreting. The king said, when they brought in Daniel, he said, I have heard. I have heard of thee that light, understanding, excellent wisdom is in thee. You commit your soul to him, and he will give you excellent wisdom. What about your committing your spirit to him, loving him with all your spirit? Well, a good example will be found in Numbers chapter 14 from verse 20 to 24. Numbers 14, 20 to 24. The Almighty God said, Caleb followed me wholly. His spirit is different from the others. He said, he will get to the promised land. You commit your spirit to him, he will make sure that you reach your goal. When you read Daniel chapter 6 from verse 1 to 3, Daniel 6 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible tells us of a king who had 120 provinces. And so he chose 120 princes to look after the provinces. And then out of the 120, he chose 3 presidents to supervise the kings, the princes. And then out of the 3, he said, there's only one fellow who will be the leader of them all. And that's Daniel. He said, because an excellent spirit was found in him. Excellent spirit. And let me consider some specific examples just to let you know why you should make up your mind once and for all to be 100% committed to my God. Consider Joshua. Joshua said something in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the Almighty God said, that's fine, son. Ask for anything then, you'll get it. So you find that in Joshua chapter 10, from verse 12 to 14, Joshua 10, 12 to 14, Joshua said to God, I'm fighting your battles, and the sun is about to set. If the sun sets, the enemy will escape. So, sun, I command you, stay where you are. Moon, stay where you are. The Bible calls it a unique answer to prayer. There was never a day like that before, never a day like that after. Because there is a, God found somebody who said, as for me and my house, we are 100% for you, Lord. Let's take another example. Take Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 18, and you can read the whole story. 1 Kings chapter 18, from the beginning to the end. Elijah stood before against a whole nation. A whole nation gathered together to be on the side of Baal. Elijah said, I'm the only one here, and I'm 100% for God. He said to the nation, he said, hey, make up your mind. If Jehovah is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. Why are you putting one leg in God and one leg in an idol? You know the rest of the story. He prayed and fire fell. And how did God reward this man? When you read 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 8 to 24, 1 Kings 17 from verse 8 to 24, he became the first man ever to raise somebody from the dead. Absolute commitment. That's what God is looking for. What about Elisha? When you read 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 19 to 21, 1 Kings 19 from verse 19 to 21. The moment the mantle of Elijah fell on him, the boy said, fine, you're calling me to follow you to serve God? Great. I'm for you 100%. Will never return to the farm. How did God respond? In 2 Kings chapter 13, from verse 14 to 21, 2 Kings 13, 14 to 21, Elisha became the first fellow to raise the dead twice. Not only twice, the second one was even raised after he died. He was dead, and yet he was still performing miracles. Consider Peter. In Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 11. Luke 5 from verse 1 to 11. After God gave him that overwhelming breakthrough, the Bible said he surrendered all and followed Jesus. You know, he didn't even wait to sell the fish. But do you know what? By the time you get to Acts chapter 5 from verse 12 to 16, Acts of the Apostles 5 from verse 12 to 16, you will discover that even the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. Oh, it pays to be committed to God. It pays. Look at Paul. That's another friend of mine. In Philippians chapter 3 from verse 5 to 11, Philippians 3, 5 to 11, the Bible says, this man said, all that were gain to me, I let them go. For Christ. I committed everything that I had ever considered gain to him, that I might know him. I want to be 100% committed to him, 100%. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 19 from verse 11 to 17, Acts 19 from verse 11 to 17, that not only did God perform special miracles, not ordinary miracles. Every miracle is a special divine intervention. But in the case of Paul, special miracles. If we are going to use it in mathematical language, we will call his own miracles, miracles squared. He became well known. He became a terror to the kingdom of darkness. When some people tried to copy him, the demon told those people, "I know Jesus, I know Paul. I want you to come out of this convention with the demons already testifying that they know Jesus and they know you." And you know what? Paul finished well. I want to spend just 2 more minutes to talk to those of you who have been having some struggles with forces of darkness. Some of you who know very well that you are in one form of bondage or the other. Do you know the result might be simply because you are not 100% committed to God? I mean, take the example of Peter that I mentioned earlier. You can read Acts of the Apostles chapter 5. And read Acts of the Apostles chapter 12, both of them. They be enough. Acts of the Apostles chapter 5 and Acts of the Apostles chapter 12. No prison could hold Peter. No prison. They threw him to prison the first time, an angel came and brought him out. They threw him to prison the second time, an angel came and brought him out. No prison who hold him. And I'm believing God for those of you who might be in any form of bondage. Tonight will be your night of total deliverance. Yeah. Ah, because God said something. In Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17, Proverbs 8 verse 17, he said, "I love those who love me." God cannot love you and the enemy will hold you down. It won't happen. God said in his word, in the same Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36, Proverbs 8, verse 36, he said, "It is those who hate me who love death." You know what's he saying? He said, "Well, choose. Which one do you want? You want to love me? So I can love you in return? Or you want to hate me so we will know that you are the one who will prefer death?" Let me tell you one thing straight. Any part of your life that is not committed to God, that's where you have problems with Satan. Any part of your body, any part of your soul, any part of your spirit, your business, your marriage, whatever, that is not 100% committed to God. That's where the problem will be. I mean, you take a very simple example. You're sitting in a room that is full of light at night. The window is open. And you choose to hang your hand outside the window into the dark. And the snake is crawling by. And the only thing he sees hanging outside in the dark is your finger. Well, if he bites the finger, the fact that the rest of your body is in the light is not going to save you from the poison. total commitment. Everything that is yours must be committed to God, and then God will take care of his own. And before you pray, because I'm sure some of you will say, but I'm already 100% committed to God. I've surrendered all to him. I will remind you of the story of that young man who had me speak like this and came to me and said, Daddy, I've surrendered all to God now. I said, really? He said, yes. And at that time, he was probably the only other fellow in the church that had a car. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, praise God. So we will be able to borrow your car then, because we want to go somewhere tomorrow for an assignment, and we've been wondering about transportation. He said, tomorrow, Monday. I said, yes, sir. He said, but I must go to work. I said, I know. We just want to borrow your car for one day. He said, I smiled. I said, my son, we're not going anywhere. We don't need your car. I just want you to know you have not surrendered anything. Make up your mind, my brother and my sister. Check your commitment to God and take a decision tonight. You will find that there are tremendous wonders in being committed to God. Let's bow our heads. And of course, if you have not even yet given your life to Jesus Christ, what are we talking about? But you can give your life to him now. I have just explained to you, if you want to give your life to him, do it, and do it 100%. You can't do it half-heartedly. So if you want to surrender to him 100% tonight, then cry unto him and say, Lord, save my soul, and I will serve you 100%. My body, my soul, my spirit will be yours, and yours forever. And the rest of us who claim that we're already children of the living God, think deeply before you pray tonight. Because if you cry unto him tonight, he's going to answer you by fire. In the meantime, please intercede for those who are surrendering their life to you, the Almighty God. Pray that God will have mercy on them, will give them salvation the way he alone can do it, complete and absolute. That their life will become completely new, so that all things will pass away and all things will become new for them. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. My Father, my God, I want to thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for those who have made up their mind now that they will surrender to you 100% for the salvation of their souls. Please, Lord, let your blood cleanse them from all their sins. Let everything become brand new for them. Amen. Save their souls, Lord. Amen. Write their names in the book of life. Amen. And please, Lord, don't let them ever go back into sin in Jesus' name. Amen. Anytime they cry unto you now, my Father and my God, answer them completely. Amen. And please, my Father and my God, your children who will now be really, really committing to you, I pray that every blessing of commitment will be made available to them. Amen. Absolute healing. Amen. Absolute deliverance. Amen. Complete breakthrough. Amen. Joy overflowing. Amen. That kind of blessing that only you can give, Father, give unto them. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now you've heard the word. It's up to you now to decide how you are going to relate to God from now on. If you are going to be 100% committed to Him, then you can go ahead and call on Him. Really, really call on Him. And tell Him, Lord, I have heard, when you heal completely. I'm asking, because I'm committing my life to you completely, give me total and comprehensive healing. I have heard that if I'm committed to you, my breakthrough will be absolute. I'm claiming that, Lord, because I'm going to be 100% committed to you. I've been told that if I am committed to you, my deliverance will be absolute. After all, it is written, whosoever the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. Every yoke in my life, everyone, destroy tonight. Spend quality time talking to Him, claiming all the wonders of commitment, and I can assure you, He will prove Himself to be more than sufficient. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.